He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business. What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show. Oh, man. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2013. How are you all doing? I'm doing okay. Me personally, I've been battling a cold. But I'm here, you know. I'm here. That's what matters. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I woke up this morning feeling just a little bit energized. Just a little bit energized. I know DDP is in the chat room with us. He is not feeling well at all. He got the same thing I got. I think he does. I mean, it's that flu epidemic going around. Although, I don't think mine is a flu epidemic. I think mine came from my neighbor down the hall. I don't know how to explain it. She wears all these different fragrances one day, and then her house smells like dead cats or something the next day. But her cat is alive. She only has one cat. But I should have never went into her apartment. I went in her apartment 2 weeks ago just to help her move something, and then it started on Sunday night. Till my friend. I know we allowed me to hang out longer, but I'm going home. I think I'm coming down with something. And who knew? As soon as I got home, I just start coughing and the whole nine yards. So, DDP, I'm right there with you, man. And I'm glad you're here in the chat room. You didn't have to be, but you chose to be. Thank you, DDP, very much for that. This guy, DDP, always promoting the hell out of our shows, out of all the shows here on Blog Talk Radio, really, so... We should, you know, I know every year at Blog Talk Radio we have these host awards for the best Blog Talk Radio host. We're going to start having fan awards. DDP will be the first inductee. I'd like to give a big, big, big shout out to my friends at the group. I'm telling you, man, we're going to have a pack show today. Got to say what's up to my boy, Steve from the group. Steve, I hope you're listening. Hope you're enjoying the show. Glad to hear that you're doing all right, too. And my main man, Craig, he called me last night. Craig is joining us, listening to the show. I hope he's got his laptop up and running. He should have it done by now. But my main man, Craig, he said he's going to be eating pizza. That's what I had last week for the show. Because he called me last night. I don't know if, Craig, if you're having, I don't know, pepperoni, Hawaiian, combination, maybe even cheese pizza. Got to welcome guest 7896 and guest 7898 into the chat room. How are you doing? But it's going to be a packed show. Eric Williams will be here. And about 25, 30 minutes after I do wrestling news segments. And we have one half of the UWA Tag Team Champion. I forget which one because, you know, I know Eric's listening. I texted you about it. I didn't want to call you because I feel like shit. But, yeah, that's why it's only in the description. There's no name in the description, but you know they're going to be here, so one of them will. So Eric will be doing that interview very shortly. But I kind of overcame my sickness last night with my phone call with Craig. I'm telling you, it's going to be a serious show. Well, serious in the fact that we get to make fun of people. I know DDP heard about this. I know damn sure that my good friend Matt Broderick, who will be joining us, he just texted me a few minutes ago, said that he's out with his girlfriend and her friend, but he's headed home to get in the chat room with us, so he should be in the chat room very shortly. He just texted me about that. Everybody's asking me about this. Even my main man, Craig. What the hell is Jack Swagger doing? Even though I'm sick, that's funny as hell. You're going to see why. Just wait till we get to wrestling news segments. Got a lot of ton of wrestling news in 30 minutes, so stay tuned for that. I tell you, Jack Swagger gets arrested, and you'll see why. A couple of ideas ran through my head about that one on what WWE should start doing. But then again, I thought, nah, that might be a bad idea. This could possibly be a good idea. And in terms of storyline, I don't know what's going to happen now that he, you know, did this to himself. So just hold on for that. There's a lot of funny stuff. And like I said, ideas that came to my head about this whole Jack Swagger thing. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to get into this. What in the blue hell is going on now? Excuse me. I did take my Dayquil medicine before we went live. I should be good to go. Hopefully that will be the only cough that you'll hear. But anyway, what in the blue hell is going on? Here we are. Three and a half weeks after the Super Bowl has ended. And now it looks like, again, that the NFL might possibly want to add some new rules with difficult reasoning to understand, because I know that last year before we came back into NFL season, things were out of control because they had locked everybody out. And during the lockout, remember, they said, well, we're not going to have the field goal, you know, the kickoff when we start the game. When the game starts off, you always have to do a kickoff. We're not going to have the kickoff start at the 30-yard line anymore. We're going to change it. And they didn't really tell anybody what they were doing. Everybody said, what do you mean you're going to change it? How are you going to change it? There's no way you can change it. Well, they changed it all right. Remember, they changed it to the 35-yard line. But this is different. Ever since the inception of that one play that everybody is still talking about to this day, come on now, you know he was holding. And my other neighbor down the hall, he's constantly showing me the video. He's like, see right there, Matt. What is that right there? I'm like, I know, he's holding. I see that. I see it clearly. He's like, I'm going to send this to the NFL. I'm like, they don't need you to send this video clip to them. They've got the whole thing on film. He's like, well, I'm going to address it to them. It's a big concern of mine. I'm like, there is no way they're going to listen to you. One fan. Now, if you raise up an army of fans, of 49er fans, and you walk into the NFL offices, and you say, we want this reversed immediately, and we want the referees that were refereeing the Super Bowl to be fired immediately. I said, oh, wait, you won't be able to do that. My neighbor said, why? I said, you don't have enough money to afford a damn plane ticket. Neither do I. Like you're going to walk into the offices of the NFL, the National Football League. I said, they don't need you to send them this videotape. They have all the evidence. They have all the different angles that were there. And this was 2-3 weeks ago when I had this conversation with my neighbor. But now, after all this time, here we are today, on February 22nd of 2013. And just this week, as I'd like to welcome guest 7975 into the chat room, that just this week, they have announced that they are going to think about reversing the referee's decision for the game. Well, see, this is why I wish Roger Goodell and the NFL itself would think logically. You can't reverse a decision weeks and weeks after the game's already been played. You can change the denomination of the game like you did during the lockout last year, and they made all these other new rules and stuff like that. Because there are so many things, I found out 2 weeks ago that there are so many things now versus in the 80s and 90s when I was watching it as a kid. During the 80s and 90s, there only used to be between 7 and 10 rules applied with the NFL's contention rules. And those rules dictated to everything else. As we have a lot of guests in the chat room, while everybody's getting ready for the Eric Williams interview, Eric Williams will be here to conduct this interview with UWA Elite Tag Team Champion. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there for that. He should be here. He won't be here at my house. Heck no. I'm in California. Eric Williams is, of course, all the way in PA. And UWA Elite, they're in New Jersey, so there's no way they're actually coming here. I mean, what I meant to say is Eric Williams will be on the line. He'll be calling in shortly. And so will our guest, so stay right there. But now it seems that Roger Goodell wants to take steps to make sure that this never happens again. For those of you that saw his SportsCenter fiasco last Saturday night, where he said that everything that he does for the NFL is for its own good. I'm sorry, but in a state of sickness, may I, say that I have a reason to say this because I'm sick of the dog, so I'm going to say it. Roger Goodell, you stupid son of a bitch. There is no way that you are even trying to fight for the good of the NFL fans. How dare you? I mean, it's telling the officials, you know what, we've been here too long. Yeah, and plus we had the blackout, or the power outage now, they call it. Remember they kept changing their mind and telling the media what it was? Oh, we know what it was. It was the blackout. Yeah, right. Remember last week, DDP? When I told the world that they said, oh, it was a power outage. What are you going to say next? That the ship Titanic came in and that's what caused the blackout? Or the power outage, whatever you're calling it? They don't even know what to call it. But because of all of that, and I'm sure we all saw the end of the game when Jim Harbaugh kept saying, come on now, I know the game's over, but he was clearly holding, throw a flag. But it was Roger Goodell who did not want to fight for the fans because he said clearly, he was up in the booth with that young 9-year-old girl, Samantha, who I said weeks ago that she can tackle. She can tackle boys. She's only 9 years old. She played for this little league team in the summertime in her hometown of Kentucky. But she doesn't care what's going on. She doesn't care what business Roger Goodell has to do. He stood up. He was sitting next to her, but he stood up and he whispered to his main man. He goes, tell downstairs and tell the officials that whatever happens during this game, ignore it. It's time for us to go home. This game has gone on way too long because we had that blackout, we had that power outage. So whatever happens, happens. And if a team gets screwed over, oh well. And I had to show my neighbor the end of the game because he didn't believe me. From my point of view, he goes, see, look at Jim Harbaugh. He's showing how much holding is going on in that play. I said, I know, but look at this. Watch this part. I said, what is the referee doing? And Jim Harbaugh is clearly talking to him. And you just see the ref talk for 2 seconds and then walk away. Because even though nobody heard what the referee said as the game was going off the air, I know what the referee said. He told Jim Harbaugh, back off, coach. Otherwise, I'll penalize you with the late penalty. And that's why Jim Harbaugh turned around and looked upstairs at the box office, because he knew Roger Goodell knew what had just happened. That's when he had realized, I've been screwed by Roger Goodell and the NFL. You're damn right. That's exactly what happened. See, a lot of people say, well, that's not true. The part that they say is not true is they don't think that Roger Goodell was the factor in the game. Come on now. Of course he was. He's the boss. If the boss was not there, there would be no other explanation for it. Because Roger Goodell, he likes to be in what our title is today, in the fast lane. He's never going to stay in the slow lane because he's the boss. He wants the game to keep going, going, going. That's why he told them in the third quarter, whatever happens during the rest of the game, so what? If you see a play, ignore it. And they did just that. They ignored that holding call because they followed the rules and the orders of Roger Goodell to screw the game over. That's why I say, how dare Roger Goodell say that, what he said last Saturday on ESPN, when he said that he's still trying to work and fight for all the NFL fans. But that's bullshit. Because if he was fighting for NFL fans everywhere, you know that call would have got overturned right away, right then and there. But he didn't care. And now other people who are on the political side like me are saying that, well, Roger Goodell should not be allowed to be at the Super Bowl anymore. Well, you can't do that. You can't just ban Roger Goodell from any more Super Bowl games. He's the boss. But if he had overturned that one play, would Ray Lewis still be wearing a Super Bowl ring? Would the Falcons even be the Super Bowl champions? I'm not saying yes and I'm not saying no. And I'm not really sure what would have happened with the 49ers in that situation. And on top of that, we had brother versus brother. After hearing me ramble on about the Super Bowl for 20 damn minutes, now I can finally shut up now and get into the rules, the new possible new rules that the NFL is thinking about, when they've already got. Did you know that the NFL has 101 rules added to what they already made last year, the five new ones? that they want to intact on the officials now. But the other officials really won't have anything to worry about with these new if these new rules take place. That'll end up on the shoulders and on the mind of the head referee, the lead referee. That now, if a play like the one that happened at the Super Bowl, where he was constantly holding, and everybody, you know, even Jim Harbaugh was saying that he was holding, that if that happens after the game, they're thinking of maybe finding the referees and the referees involved with a certain game like that $200,000. And I know DDP can't really, you know, cheer and hoot and holler, and neither can I, because we're both sick. But I'm sure DDP will tell us in the chat room if he's really happy about that. Because I remember when I was watching, you know, Green Bay take on his team. He's a Houston Texans fan. Right, DDP? The week before Christmas is when they played the Houston Texans. But then again, you're probably saying, well, Matt, that doesn't really count. Those are the replacement referees. Well, I don't care if they're replacement referees or not. The same rules should apply. Because the Houston Texans clearly had that first down marker against Green Bay the week before Christmas. And the referees ignored that call, too. And you say, well, I just said again, Matt, that those are replacement refs. Like I just said, I don't care. That rule should apply to every single referee. Whether you're a replacement referee or not, it doesn't matter. You should still be penalized and fined accordingly. DDP said in the chat room, he said, right, that's right. See, unlike Roger Goodell and all these other people, I'm actually here for all you fans. Regardless if I'm sick or not. The other new rule that they want to put in is that they're thinking of giving coaches an extra time to challenge for a play. This new rule would be a concept of what the National Hockey League does. Because if a coach calls a play ridiculous and it's rendered unfair, that certain National Hockey League coach can then go back, talk to the NHL judges who are there, and then the judges can get together with the National Hockey League referees, and they can come to a decision that way. It's kind of like their rule. The difference between that and that NFL rule is that the NFL would kind of do something like that, but it would be something like this, where it would, they won't necessarily charge the coach with a timeout if this new rule takes effect next season. And you know how that might take place? Well, when I found out about it, I thought it was really stupid. They might give coaches a yellow flag. But you're probably saying, they already used the red one for a challenge flag. I know that. Now it looks like a damn soccer game. I think they personally need to go back and review this one. Give this one a second thought. I don't know what the hell the NFL is thinking about here. they're also in the process since they have all this off time now. And even though it's the off season, the NFL is going to start having mandatory meetings in August to meet with all the referee and leading officials, because now they want to do what I'm doing here. If I'm preaching sports, Roger Goodell wants to preach about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and review the rules again about holding and how much holding you can do to another opponent while trying to reassess the game-wise. And that all has to do with that holding play that they had at the Super Bowl. Because Roger Goodell believes that these referees don't understand the holding penalty. Well, that's why I say you should get some smart, real smart referees. And I remember, you know, before the Super Bowl had started, that I was reading how many years all these other referees have been doing this for a long time. But when it came to the lead referee, the one who got the damn microphone in it, attached to his body, I didn't read his name until after the game had happened and everything. But I didn't read on the TV screen when the game was going on while he was talking, you know, telling the players, do you call heads, do you call tails, and all that other stuff, and he was reminding them of the rules. I didn't pay attention to how many years that he'd been doing the NFL thing. But I don't think it matters and concerns any of those referees that were involved in this year's Super Bowl. I think it was like 29 or 30-something years that he's been in the NFL as a referee, and he had that much experience. I think you need to get a guy that has 35 years experience. That's better. All the officials in the game should have at least 35 years experience. That way you don't disrupt or ignore the game's integrity of the NFL. That way you won't have an incident like what happened at the Super Bowl, where you have a coach jumping up and down like a little kid, throwing a temper tantrum, going, hey, holding, come on now, where's the call? And back to what I said about Roger Goodell, everybody said that, well, let's not have the boss show up anymore at Super Bowls. I'm not even going to touch that one, because you can't touch that one. As many people as we have in the chat room, and I know we have other people listening live, the entire world is listening to me preach this. And I'm going to say this to all of you. That's not going to fucking happen. That would be like one of us going into our job and going, I know you're the boss, but why don't you get the hell out of here and you can go home for the rest of the day. And you know what? I got this. You would actually tell your boss that? What are you, crazy? Your boss is going to look at you like you're crazy, like you're on weed or something like that. Good grief. He'll be like, what are you smoking? You know what? For copping an attitude like that with me, I was just going to send you home, but now I got thinking thoughts. You're fired. So it's something like that. Whoever the boss is in any organization, you can't tell the boss to go home. It's the same principle here. I know a lot of NFL fans and others think that, well, what I said 2 weeks ago was true. When I said that it's the same thing that happened in Montreal when Vince McMahon screwed Bret Hart. Did Roger Goodell screw Jim Harbaugh? Yes, he did. And the 49ers. Yes, he did, because he was there watching the game in person and he had control of the game. Just like the president right now. he might come to California and get involved with this gay rights marriage thing. And people are like, well, me and my friends are like, he should stay out of it. This is a California thing. I know he's the president. But then again, we can't really tell the president to get out of our state of California. He's controlling the country. Like I said, back to Roger Goodell. The same thing. Roger Goodell is the boss. And I know we don't like it, but whatever the boss says, it goes. Whatever new rule it comes into, it goes as well. And that's just the way it is. And I don't see how anything or any new rule is going to change Roger Goodell's mind anytime soon. I just don't. It doesn't really do anything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Williams should be here shortly. I have no clue where the hell he is. Should have been here by now, but that's okay. When we come back, we've got tons of crazy, and I mean truly crazy wrestling news. Before we go to commercial break, let me ask you this, because this is going to have a dynamic answer impact when we come back from our commercial break, and that is this. And it only pertains to you if you're a wrestling fan, because that's where we're headed next. Since Jack Swagger got arrested last Friday after SmackDown, I'm going to really hate asking this question. More than likely, you guys are going to end up voting that you'll want this question and this part of the show added to our anniversary show later this year. But I'm going to ask it anyways. After you think, after last week on SmackDown, when Jack Swagger got arrested, do you think that WWE wrestlers should start having somebody to go with to a bar or someplace like that? Somebody who doesn't really drink that much, but is still going to drink, but they're there to watch the certain wrestler. Yeah, I didn't really want to ask that question, but yeah. See, now it's going to get crazier when we come back.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
I'm Roger Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific. Sunday at 2:30 p.m. ADD Tangent. Rave at 6. DJ and Eli in the evening at 8. This week on NDB Media at 9. On Monday, 6:30 a.m. Fantasy Extra. Then at 4 p.m. Deep Space Jeff. 8 p.m. Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition. On Tuesday, 6 p.m. The Five Tool Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelitch Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m. Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
Yes, then we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Man, we had a lot of guests in the chat room that joined us for our NFL segment. Thank you all of you for joining us, and you know, very awesome that you stayed. Excuse me. Thank you to guest 7898 for staying with us too. And yeah, here we go. Let's get back into this. Well, if you're an antagonist, or you're one of the kind of people that have a different point of view, or you're a prognist, well, Glenn Beck is one of those kind of people. And he has a problem with WWE doing real life situations in their storylines. But he's also one of those people that don't realize it's just a show. It's all about entertainment. So WWE knows this as well, and WWE has extended an invitation to talk show host and political commentator Glenn Beck to appear live this Monday on Raw in response to a segment that aired on the Blaze TV show yesterday. In the segment, he had referenced WWE as stupid wrestling people when criticizing a recent WWE storyline involving characters Alberto Del Rio, Jack Swagger, and Deb Coulter. WWE is giving Beck the opportunity to address the 14 million weekly viewers and the global fan base. He believes WWE is offending the conservative fans with this. Similar to other television shows and features, WWE said that they're in the entertainment business, creating fictional characters just like everybody else that serve as prognosts or antagonists to create compelling and revealing content for their audience. They say it's important to incorporate current events into their storyline. WWE is creating a rivalry centered on a typical subject that has many varying points of view. The storyline was developed to build the Mexican-American character Alberto Del Rio into a hero, given WWE's large Latino base, which represents 20% of their audience. Well, you know, I kind of agree with Glenn Beck to a certain extent, because I have the problem of, you know, going along with them when they do current events. When they started joking around, because, you know, you've heard me say this back in 2003 when I said on my original channel that, you know, every time WWE does a storyline, it always comes back and it bites them on the ass real hard. And I mean hard. Because Glenn Beck has now been offered a free front row ticket to this Monday Night Raw edition. We'll see what happens, whether he shows up or not. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see his pathetic little face jumping in there and sitting there front row center. But back to what I was saying is that in 2003, when you know, they were saying that, well, we're going to have to go to war and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. We got to retaliate because they attacked us first. But if you go back to early 2001, when they were saying that get ready because we're going to invade them. And it was also around that time that WWE had purchased WCW and ECW, and they were letting them infiltrate WWE to look like an invasion. Then they had somebody, I forgot who it was, because it was a forgotten character anyway that nobody even remembered. Nobody even remembered his name. But they had Ray Traylor, who was at that time playing the Boss Man. You know, he came out and he's like, I got a bomb! I got a bomb! And I'm going to blow this building up. Ray Traylor came out as the Boss Man and said, how dare you criticize the United States of America? And if you do have a bomb, I want to see it. And the audience thought it was funny because of the way they played out that storyline. And Vince McMahon kept running with the storyline. And you keep bringing it up and bringing it up, sooner or later, it's bound to just explode for real. Well, that happened in late 2001. The week before September 11th, Vince McMahon goes and does a storyline based on how they blew up, you know, the world. And Vince said, well, the United States is on crippling feet. And he had to go back and rearrange those words because a week later, that's when the world really did get attacked. So that's why I have a problem with them doing current event storylines, because something always happens in real life. Because when the NFL and all these other sporting, you know, companies were saying that, well, this person and that person committed suicide, Vince played it off too. He did a segment on Mad TV where he said that, you know, if everybody's committing suicide, then we don't need to worry about it. We're wrestlers. Our wrestlers don't commit suicide. And look, I'm back from the dead. You saw me get blown up by a limousine, remember? And then a week later, Chris Benoit goes and does the thing in real life. So to a point, I agree with Glenn Beck. I really do. I mean, yeah, all this is, of course, for another time. We'll talk about it. But let's get back into this. Do you want to know one of the reasons why TNA executives were in California this week? That's where I'm at in California. I love it here. Well, because they're looking for a new video game deal. Excuse me. Dixie Carter and Jason Harvey met with Activision earlier this week. So they realized that their two last current TNA Impact product wrestling video games were not the top sellers. Well, if you're a video gamer like me, you know that RPG versions of games suck. They make the characters look too small. That's why I don't like playing RPG games. I play the real stuff. Right, DDP? I think DDP played the real stuff, too. Well, and another developing story, too. That Ric Flair is very surprised about something. UFC President Dana White said at this week's UFC 157 press conference that the media attention for Ronda Rousey and the first women's MMA fight in UFC has surpassed the attention for Brock Lesnar. He said, no, she blows him out of the water. No fighter who has ever fought for the UFC has received as much attention as she has. It's a fact. It's true. So now the UFC doesn't think anything of Brock Lesnar, who was at one time their big star. That's kind of sad. I'm sure Brock Lesnar is morphed and pissed off about this. Ric Flair was interviewed this week in Championship Florida Wrestling off-site interviewer to promote his NXT WWE developmental appearance this weekend. Well, his daughter, NXT diva Charlotte, he said, "I'm very surprised that my daughter joined WWE. He said, I think just being around all the guys that weekend was just sold her on it. 3 months later, she was in Tampa training. Ric Flair said it's very cool that it runs in the family. Her brother David Reed is in Tokyo at this point in time right now, wrestling there." And speaking of NXT, a lot of people have been asking. You know, they've been saying NXT on YouTube sucks. There's no way to actually formulate from the NXT product. Well, Jim Ross said that NXT could be returning very well to television very soon, following Thursday's tapings at Full Sail University. A Twitter follower asked if NXT would be coming back to US TV. Jim Ross replied on Twitter that it's in the works. Although there is no specific detail provided, NXT currently is available on Hulu in the U.S., but not on nationwide and traditional television at this time. I tell you, it's more crazier than anything else. And Darren Young injured his knee and will be out until October. Too bad. It really is. And I know it's probably Eric Williams on the line. The phone lines are going crazy right now. Been on hold for 2.5 minutes. I'll get to him in just a second. Bring him on the line. But, ladies and gentlemen, I asked the question before the commercial break. Do you think that they should start being held hands like little babies? Jack Swagger this week, ladies and gentlemen, well, last week, last Friday after SmackDown went off the air, was arrested for drug paraphernalia and all this other stuff. And also, he did kind of start a fight at the local pub that he was in. He just came back, too. As my main man Craig said when he called me last night, "You stupid bastard." Craig hopes that Vince McMahon will fire Jack Swagger, but I don't think that's going to happen. But he was getting ready to be their new push. He was going to be their new man. But they might have to change the WrestleMania plan for Jack Swagger now. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Jack Swagger, what have you done? Well, let's get to the phone lines here. Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, Matt?
What's going on, Eric?
Nothing. Just hanging out. Just got home from work about 30 minutes ago.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy. No, you guys were talking about, you're talking about NXT and all that. I mean, honestly,
you don't want it to come back to television? We lost Eric. Dang, I can't believe we lost Eric. He was going to answer the most important question. Maybe he'll call back in. So, yeah. DDP, what do you think? Do you think that WWE should start? I mean, I know it sucks to say it. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to ask that type of question, but I mean, I don't know if WWE should start, having somebody from management or somebody like that personally start walking around with these guys. That way they won't get into trouble. But I don't think that's going to happen because WWE already said it on their website. Jack Swagger is responsible for his own actions, as is everybody. Everybody's responsible for their own actions. So I think I just answered my own question. No, I don't think that's going to happen. there are so many other things that could be going on right now. Eric was about to introduce our guest, but I don't know what's going on with the phone lines here. I think Eric is using Skype, and I don't use Skype anymore. So, we'll just have to, I don't know. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Sports Opinion Show. No, I don't sound like this every week. You probably think I do. I'm just sick of the dog this week, but I'm still here. But yeah, Jack Swagger was just in the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view as well. I tell you, I don't know what to say about that. Speaking of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, while we're waiting for Eric Williams to call back in, along with our guest, DDP and others have told me that it was a decent pay-per-view. I also found out this morning, DDP, that no, they did not end up having two Elimination Chamber matches. They just had one. So it seems now like they're really trying to just build around one show. You know, because they used to have Raw versus SmackDown. And even though the Raw versus SmackDown franchise is still, it's no longer a video game epidemic. Speaking of that, earlier this week I've also found out that THQ, they summoned the rights over to another video game programming that's going to take over the WWE video game from now on. They're negotiating with that. They're going to have to do that sometime in July or August, somewhere in there. I forget where, but I found out early this week that that's what was happening. So, yeah. Sorry here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just... multitasking as we speak. But there's a whole lot of things that could have shaped and could have done things right. Anyway, this week for Monday Night Raw, there was a lot of things happening, things that nobody expected to see or hear about. The Rock has a new championship belt. I couldn't believe it either. I couldn't believe my eyes. DDP, what did you think about that? And even though CM Punk did hit The Rock with the former spinner belt, that thing was a piece of crap. You know, it looked like a damn toy. It really is a toy. You know, I couldn't believe that. He hits The Rock with the spinner belt. Then then he's going to run away, still holding the spinner belt. And I told my good friend Matt Broderick, I hope they don't, I hope they're not trying to keep the spinner belt and the brand new, awesome, more brazen, more believable looking belt that they have now. It's about damn time that they made one. Speaking about our guests from UWA Elite, I was looking over their website. If you go to UWAElite.com and you click on the roster page for our guests that might be calling in and showing up, I don't know what's going on with that. Eric Williams has not got back to me. I've been texting him this whole time. But they've got, you know, the main titles and stuff. But then you keep going further down the page on their website. And, man, they've got titles they created that I'd never even heard of before. I'm like, what kind of title is that? Oh, my God. But that's what WWE and TNA need to do together. I mean, not together. They need to do it separately because they're separate companies. They need to create titles that look more believable. DDP said it's awesome. He put in the chat room that he likes the new belt. He thinks it's awesome. I do too. I really do. I hope that it will just, hey, that it will stay right there. Because, you know, things like this, you don't really see that much. Because, hey, I mean, how many times have they actually changed their belt? You know, if they really wanted to go for change, why didn't they just... They could have brought back the Undisputed Championship, and they could have upgraded it too a little bit. That's what they could have done, but they didn't do that. They honestly did not do that at all. I don't know why, but they didn't. That would have made much more sense. You know, don't you think so? If you would have, you know, brought back the Undisputed Championship. If you brought back the Undisputed Championship, that would have made much more sense. Could have upgraded it. And, you know, and it would have worked. It really would have. It would have helped WWE if what it would have done, but, I mean, this is okay. This, you know, this helped them out for a little bit because it's a new belt. And, you know, new belts, they just seem to go a long way, and if they do it right, then it works. Then you got people talking, and you got people telling their friends, and their friends telling their friends, and it's just all, that's really all wrestling is nowadays, by word of mouth. Because, I mean, I have heard it from so many different people. You've even heard Eric Williams say it, that wrestling is kind of dull. But then there's other people that I know. My good friend Matt Broderick is in the chat room. Matt Broderick is in the house. Happy Friday to you too, Matt. Matt Broderick said, yeah, when Cena got that spinner belt, that was right here in Chicago. Yes, I remember that. That's where Matt lives, ladies and gentlemen. My good friend Matt Broderick lived in Chicago, the Windy City. You guys probably got hella snow again, huh? I know my main man Craig and all those in Indianapolis, Indiana. They've got snow that they got to shovel out. Matt, I'm sure you probably have to shovel your dad's driveway again until he can get his truck out. You have to get a truck out for him like you did last year. Remember when you told me that? Man. Craig had called me last night and he said, "You ever driven in snow before?" No, I've never ever driven in snow, ladies and gentlemen. If we were on a road trip together, if all of us in the chat room were on a road trip, and if I smelled snow 5 miles out ahead of me, you know what I'd do? I'd pull the damn car over. I'd hand it to guest 78 and 98, or Matt Broderick, or DDP, or anybody listening, like my main man Craig. Yeah, he'll take over. He'll be the driver for us. He can drive in the snow. You wouldn't want me driving in the snow. I don't have any experience. I don't know how to do that shit. Oh, man. But, you know, I mean, everybody's looking forward to what may or may not happen now. You know, what is going to happen leading up to WrestleMania? What is going to happen? When and what is going to happen? Because, but if it's going to happen, it better happen in the fast lane, as our subject title says. It needs to happen in the fast lane. I mean, sure, when we're driving on these highways and the byways in whatever state we live in, then, sure, you have to get on the freeway. You got to start in the slow lane. But me, I gradually slip all the way over. I don't get all the way into the fast lane, because I rarely ever need to get in the fast lane, because it's only me. I'm just driving by myself. Now, if I had four people in my car each day or each week, you know, then I would get into the fast lane. But there's no reason for me to get in the fast lane right now. That's what WWE needs to do. They need WWE and TNA. They need to get their ass off. They need to get off their ass for what they need to do. Start progressing matches from the slow lane, and eventually get all the way over into the fast lane. Pick up the pace of whatever match you're doing. Run that match super, super fast for 10 whole minutes. Give each match a 15 or 20 minute time limit to wrestle. Just wrestle. But then again, Vince McMahon always says, "Well, you know, Matt Alvarez, that's not going to work." And I say, "Why not, Vince?" And Vince McMahon has been known to give people excuses, and he's given the world excuses like, "Well, our wrestlers just can't wrestle that long." Well, what do you mean they can't wrestle that long? Of course they can. They're wrestlers. Wrestlers were made and tailor-made to invoke the audience, to either make fun of them, that way the audience can react negatively and boo one of your talent, or if you react in a respectable way, then the audience will cheer for you. And that's your stamina. That's your reason for going to a 20-minute time limit match, or 15 minutes, or however long you go. But these 30-second, you know, one-minute deals, it's not going to cut it. It's just not. There's no way it's going to cut anything. Because I hate that he said that there's no way they can do that. Ah, bullshit. Well, we've got some feedback in the chat room here. Matt Broderick says, He said, I got a feeling that Ziggler will now fight Del Rio at WrestleMania. Yeah, that could happen. Then he'll cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase afterwards. He said his pick for the Elimination Chamber were Mark Henry and Randy Orton. And he said he's glad Swagger got busted. Yeah, he is. Everybody's glad that Swagger got busted. Eric, are you back with us?
Yes.
All right, so what were you saying earlier?
No, I think that NXT, it's good, and I watch it, try to watch it weekly. It's good. I just don't think it's not something that if it gets on national TV, it's going to be watched by anybody. So they should just keep it online. Because nobody's going to watch it, and they're not going to do well, and they're going to lose money on it. And it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. So, did you watch the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view on Sunday?
Yes, I did.
Well, DDP said that it was decent. So did Matt Broderick. They enjoyed it.
I liked it. I thought it was really good. I was happy with it. I'm back in the wrestling mood, so, you know, I'll watch it. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to say this right. People are not going to like this. And I'm going to make a real quick point, and then I'm going to have to head off this phone. But people do the same moves every match. It seems like the moves are the same. Let me try to call back in
right.
A little bit. Give me a second. I'm dealing with some stuff over here, so I'll hit you up in a little bit, all right?
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, that is our one and only Eric Williams. You heard it from him, too. He enjoyed the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. It was decent enough. That's what a lot of you said. He said the same thing. Now, the wrestling holds and wrestling grapples are the same. But that leads right into my point. The fact that Vince McMahon tells me and tells a lot of other wrestling people that come on Blog Talk Radio and talk about his product and says, well, we can't wrestle, we can't have those kind of matches. Bullshit, you can. Would you like me to tell Paul Heyman that? If Paul Heyman could do it in ECW, and if Eric Bischoff could do it for WCW at the time, and if FMW in Japan can do these kind of matches where they just ride in the fast lane. Ooh, I got myself, ooh. And my main man, Craig, and all my friends from the group, I know they're all listening, so my good friend from the group, Matt, he's also listening. But Craig had told me last night when he called me sick of the dog about an amazing independent show that he watched. Because one of the group members that we have in his group, he's an independent wrestler, and he sent him a tape over. And Craig said it was very, very good what they did. And I feel like watching some independent shit. That's what I'm going to do after we go off the air. I wish Blog Talk Radio would bring back the webcam feed for the chat room. That way, all of you in the chat room, I could turn the webcam around, move some shit out of the way. That way you could all watch it on webcam and watch my FMW in Japan DVD with me. But we can't do that because Blog Talk Radio took that feature away. Sucks, I know. Matt Broderick, you want Ryback or Cena possibly to go heel? Yeah, I think that would work. How about Ryback and Cena. Tag team champions, but they can be heels. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one, Matt. I think that that would work. Yeah, I know, Matt. I know. Matt Broderick said, oh, no webcams anymore. I know. Those are the good old days of Blog Talk Radio, right? Where you could have, you know, complete control. Show your webcam off to your friends and everything while you're hosting a live show. And so, Matt Broderick, does that mean that you think that Ryback and John Cena could possibly be a team together? But what would they call the team? Maybe they would call it Team Ryback. Yeah. Yeah, that way we can make John Cena a fucking lackey. But yeah, back to my point, though. If Eric Bischoff could get it done when he was running WCW, TNA is doing it on a substandard level. They're not really doing it in the fast lane. They're just doing... Let's just say that everybody else, you know, the old wrestling days, everybody else, mainly ECW, was going at 100 miles an hour. TNA is going about 60 miles an hour, and I guess WWE is... what the hell, WWE's only going 40 miles an hour. They're not even in the fast lane. They're like one of these elderly people that drive really, really slow in all the other lanes on the freeway. Now, if you're one of our elder fans listening to the show, I apologize, but I'm not making fun of the elderly people, but I mean... Damn, let's just drive a little faster. Call the freeway for a reason. Oh boy. Matt Broderick said that him and his friend Corey... They all look... They all changed their characters in WWE 13. They made themselves look like the guy from the band Kiss. Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. Wow. I might have to add some characterization to my character in WWE 13. See what the hell I come up with. But hey, the big topic, ladies and gentlemen, for Raw is this. It's that in four days, this coming Monday night on Raw, Vince McMahon says it's going to be Vince McMahon in one corner, in the other corner, Paul Heyman. Yeah, you got the media rule talking. I got TMZ because TMZ is local here in the area. They're like in a small town called San Mateo, California, someplace like that. They're not that far from me. But they were talking about it yesterday, and they said, wow, Paul Heyman taking on Vince McMahon in an actual wrestling match. But come on. We've seen the way WWE operates. And with Vince McMahon's current state of mind that he's in, because he's trying to decide whether or not to bring back me and Matt Broderick and DDP and everybody else, our answers to prayer. Our prayers have been answered, guys. Well, I hope they have. He's trying to decide whether or not he should go back to TV 14. Good, leave the TV PG era alone. For the love of God, please, Vince. He's got so many things to think about. But I made some comments about this on social media with some of you guys. Go back to what I said. We've all seen WWE's ways of operation and all the fucking last-minute planning that they're doing to get ready for this show or that show. I told most of you guys on social media that you know WWE's going to find a way out where Paul Heyman won't actually have to compete. He'll probably get CM Punk to do it. But trust me, the writers will think of something. Oh, look at this. Coffee is in the chat room. That's right, Matt. Matt said we need action, we need hot women, we need Buried Alive matches, we need TLC matches again. You're damn right we do. Something's got to be done. Vince McMahon needs to shake things up again on Raw. I mean, he only said that he wants to shake Raw up every 3 years. The only time he really addresses something significant on Raw is, well, just what he did 3 weeks ago, the state of the WWE address. He does that every year. Why not add some of your shake things up again, you know, speeches on Raw? And SmackDown, too. SmackDown in everybody's mind is still a B-plus show, but I don't see anything B-plus about it. The only real thing they got on SmackDown is they got the storyline with Alberto Del Rio and the Big Show. Ever since Big Show dumped a whole can of paint on him 2 weeks ago. Oh, yes, we need Inferno matches. You need something significant to be in the fast lane. Something so clear and so obvious. And I don't know why the writers keep complaining to Vince that, well, storylines are hard to write nowadays. No, they're not. I was talking with Matt Broderick Monday before Raw even started. I was like, so what do you think is going to happen? He texted me back. He's like, yeah. I think this and this and that's going to happen. And that's how I would run the show. And you know what? They ran the show the same way. The same way that you said would happen, Matt. Matt's the new general manager for Monday Night Raw. So if they can do it like what they did this past Monday, then stop lying. Stop telling everybody that. And stop telling Vince that storylines are hard to write. Storylines are easy and simple to understand if you make them that way. Yes. Matt says, who knows after this summer? We will all change the face of wrestling. I'm telling you guys. But, you know, trust me. As much as we've seen that place operate together, ladies and gentlemen, we all should know that for a damn fact, and it's true, that watch, once Monday Night Raw comes on your television set, and when they announce, it is now time for Vince McMahon versus Paul Heyman match. You know that during that time, the writers are going to find some way to fuck this whole thing up. He'll probably tell the world that he can't wrestle because he's not a wrestler, because, well, he's Paul Heyman. And he'll probably have CM Punk come out and wrestle Vince McMahon for him. That's probably what's going to happen. Yes, it would be perfect, Matt. We will get on YouTube. Need to have storyline to go with the matching. Coffee's about to type something crazy in the chat room. Coffee's always going nuts in the chat room. That's coffee for you. Coffee's asking, did anybody watch the PS4 press conference release? Well, listen, video games are my area of expertise too. But since I know my friends, these two cute girls that they run the, they host the show right here on Blog Talk Radio about video games. Did anybody watch the PS4 press conference? Coffee said it was goofy. Of course they didn't give a preview of what the console looked like, and they didn't give a price. They didn't do any of those things, guys. And you know why? Sure, the PS4 is going to be released, but since all of you, since our chat room is so huge, I want you all to do me a huge favor. Go along, pass this all to your friends. The only reason that they were talking about it and showcasing it for the press release was to let out this infamous deal to energize the entire world. But that was a mistake on their part. You know why? It is going to be released. But if you're like me, which most of us are, everybody in the chat room, everybody in the chat room is like me. We're all here in the United States. It's not going to be released in the United States for the next maybe 2 or 3 years. You know who's going to get it first? Because they made it first. The handmade crafters of the PS4. It's going to be released in Japan first. Japan always gets good stuff first. Wait. What? Hold up in the chat room. Hold up. Coffee said they just showed the stupid controller. It looks retarded. And they say that you won't be able to play used games on it. What do you mean you can't play used games with a damn controller? What the hell? What? Oh, God. Coffee said that PS4 said Xbox will come out sometime in November. Yeah, well, they've been holding off on the new Xbox anyway, and they want to release that in November. I don't really follow the history with the Xbox because I'm not an Xbox fan. Sorry to say, if you're an Xbox fan, sorry if I hurt your feelings. I'm more of a PS3 guy. Oh, so I can still play you games with that damn controller you were talking about? Gee, what is this world coming to? No, I know what the world's coming to. Jeez Louise. Man, we're going to keep it rolling right along. Because I tell you, now everybody wants to talk about the used systems and what to do with their used systems. How you can get cash from them. Great topic now. Man, I tell you. Oh, Coffee just put a link in the chat room for the new controller. Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, got to do this one last time. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to keep the conversation going. Maybe I can... Maybe we can all check on the, well, I don't really feel like checking on the PS4 thing during our commercial break. You fill up to it if you want to while all this cool stuff plays. We'll be right back.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media. And here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The 5-Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mikado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side. Hey, sports fan.
Put
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
We make the first.
gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Cooch himself, McDirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, during that commercial break, I suddenly got hungry for sneakers, but as per when you're sick, you want to stay away from dairy products, so, and chocolate and stuff, so I'll just have to wait to have my sneakers when I'm all better, all back to normal. I'm almost there. Just one more day of rest and sleep, which will be in just a little bit. I'll be going back to bed for it shortly. Then when I wake up, I should be back to normal. But yeah, during that commercial break too, I found out that coffee doesn't like Dog the Bounty Hunter. Wow. Maybe because he said he didn't like his wife. She was a bitch. Television has to become something real, something more interpersonal with fans. I mean, hell, you've got everybody constantly behind, you know, the Twilight Saga, you know, that whole thing there. Ah, crap. That's right, Coffee. Coffee made a good point. See, that's why this is a sports opinion show. Coffee said it all depends on what you like. It's your opinion. Just don't ever call into the show and say that I'm a fan of Barney. I will slap you straight to hell if you call into this show for that reason. And I will hang up on your ass, too. This is not a Barney show, damn it. This is a sports opinion show. You don't got time for no damn purple dinosaur shit. Person of Interest. Yeah, I've seen that show. I saw one episode, Coffee. Pretty good. Matt Broderick, one of my other cool wrestling friends, she posted this morning on social media that I'm watching Boy Meets World. And Mankind is in this episode. I was like, yeah, there's also one with Vader in it, too. Man. Yeah, Coffee. I haven't played Watch Dogs. Looks like a damn good video game. I told my main man, Craig, that there's a lot of shit that I need. Not that I want. I need. I need it. But that's okay. My birthday's coming around, and I'm sure I'll get my hands on it one way or another. Yeah, a lot of stuff. By the way, I'm sure everybody saw it. I saw it before we went live. 10 minutes before we went live, I had to clear some emails out. That's what I do. I clear my emails out. That way, most of the emails that I get are the same emails anyway from the same person of interest or something like that, whatever the case may be. And then on the top of Yahoo, it said, Did you know, a history question, did you know that The Rock was even famous before he became a wrestler? I think everybody knows The Rock's history. And that has to be posted on Yahoo's top main page? Come on now. Yahoo, what the hell are you thinking? And if you work for Yahoo, yeah, I'm talking to you if you work for Yahoo. If you're listening live, if you're in the chat room, that was a waste of time. Everybody already knows the history of everybody. We know where The Rock got started. We know where Chris Jericho got started. We damn sure know how Tommy Dreamer got started. And Rob Van Dam. Yahoo tried to play the story out when they put the... If you go to Yahoo, you'll see it there. And they gave a very adequate story about The Rock. It's almost like they tried to say that, well, wrestling is about to explode because wrestling is a brand new thing, and we just want to get people educated. Bad enough that they're trying to educate people with Saturday Morning Slam. Come on now. I don't need to be re-educated. I'm not 5 years old. Good grief. Coffee. Oh, coffee, you are lucky. If you lived here in California, I would have to kill you. Because you got Sleeping Dogs. I need that game. Oh, my God. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a hell of a ride today. But, man, what about the opening of Impact Wrestling? You know, that Hulk Hogan said that if things didn't change, that he's now going to have to create a fatal four-way match because of Jeff Hardy. But did you know that he also said that in real life, if he was truly in charge of Impact Wrestling, he would either fire Jeff Hardy or strip him of the title because he hasn't been showing up to house shows. He's only showing up to the big TV shows or the big pay-per-views. He said, but he can't do that because Dixie Carter is the one running the company, not him. It's not his company, it's Dixie Carter's company. He realizes that. He just PO'd about the fact that how come Jeff Hardy's the only guy that doesn't have to, you know, compete. Well, sometimes it's a thing of confidentiality. That's the thing that Hulk Hogan has never understood. And this is the one thing I will never understand is why so many people are still behind Hulk Hogan. Hogan, Hogan, Hogan. Look, I respect the guy. Believe me, I do. But once he comes off television and he's not on my television screen anymore, he goes and he blabs about somebody else. It kind of relates to something going on around here. Maybe you have this problem too, ladies and gentlemen. Is that, don't you just hate it? Don't you hate it with the passion? When people will stick their nose into your business, and it's not even their problem to worry about. That's the problem that Hulk Hogan has. Because he's theory-minded. He's always, Hulk, you talk about somebody who's always running in the fast lane. That's the guy that's always running in the fast lane. But sometimes somebody needs to bitch slap him and send him over to the slow lane. Because he thinks of things too interpersonal. And he gets personal with people too. Because he always forgets what his role is. Yeah, he's the general manager. On TV, though. Only in storyline. But once those TV cameras go off, once the glitz and the glamour and the spotlights go off you, and that arena is pitch black dark, you need to remember to bring yourself all the way back down to the slow lane and say, okay, nobody else's problem is not my problem. but he's always had a problem with that. And I will never understand why people cheer him for that. They do. When he opened this week with Impact Wrestling saying that, and then he goes off TV and conducts this interview with a wrestling host personality, he said, well, you know, if it was up to me, Jeff Hardy would be suspended or fired. But now there are rumors saying that, well, Jeff Hardy kind of wants the bigger paycheck from WWE. Would Jeff Hardy ever come back to WWE? These are the new things that are happening now. I don't know if Jeff Hardy's ever going to go back to WWE. I really don't. Could something happen where it interprets that he's going back to WWE? But I guarantee you, I don't think he's ever going back to WWE. Because everything at this point are just rumors. They're not even close to being true. Just like we don't know what to do with our one and only Jack Swagger, who got arrested last week. And, well, WWE did say on their website that, you know, every man's fault is led by his own actions, and he has to deal with those actions. But I think that it's more of a problem for WWE than TNA, because you don't really hear anything about Impact wrestlers getting arrested, or this Impact wrestler did this and now he won't be at this special pay-per-view that Impact Wrestling is hosting. The only thing that you hear about that is because Hulk Hogan is still in the legally binding lawsuits about some crazed sex tape that he was allegedly in. And, of course, he's been fighting that all for most of 2012, and he's still now they're officially in court for that. They will be in court most of this year. And, of course, he's trying to say that, why would I do that? I already have two damn children. I don't need any more children. Not at your age. But that's why when you go into work, I mean, let's take, for example, Matt Broderick. He worked with a lot of people, right, Matt? Now, that would just be evil and carnally rude if Matt Broderick goes up to one of his coworkers and goes, oh, I heard about you. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to tell everybody what you did. Because the boss told me what you did. And Matt's coworker would be like, well, how did you know that? Oh, the boss told me. Me and the boss were tight. But then Matt Broderick's boss would be like, no, I didn't tell you that. Why are you lying? That's none of your business. That was confidential information that I gave to so-and-so. That's why if you're ever in your place of employment or someplace like that, or a religious organization, and you see somebody having the door closed, stop peeking around because it's none of your business. That's what Hulk Hogan does. For the last 2 weeks, he's been standing by Dixie Carter's office. As soon as she opens the door, what was that about? And she obligates to it. She's like, well, this and this and that happened. She gladly and openly tells Hulk Hogan what happened. I'm beginning to think that Dixie Carter is afraid. That's right, I said the word, afraid of Hulk Hogan because he's bigger than her, taller than her, and he's definitely got more muscle mass than her, but probably just the fucking steroids. If I was her, because being a woman is tough, I'd put my foot down and be like, why are you asking me these questions? and get the hell out of my office. It's none of your business. That's exactly what I would say to him. And per these things of the storylines, the way that they're playing out, with the Aces and Eights now trembling that they're the ones now being attacked, then in WWE you've got the Shield, who now has too much on their plate, and they don't know which way to go, which is really good. It's good. I mean, hell, that's the way it works. You put all these things under the gun because you're hiding that gun. That way when you pull the trigger, you're already in the fast lane. You could just take off and drive, basically do a drive-by. Ooh, a drive-by. Now I feel like playing some Grand Theft Auto. Thanks a lot, Matt. No, just kidding. It wasn't Matt Broderick's fault. He didn't say anything about Grand Theft Auto in the chat room or anything like that. I just felt like throwing his name out there. But that's the way I feel. And you heard Eric Williams mention that earlier too. So that's the way he feels. That wrestling is doing a lot of the same maneuvers because they feel that they have to. You guys said it was a decent pay-per-view. Eric Williams said it was a decent and good pay-per-view also. But it goes back to what I said. TNA is kind of in the fast lane. Impact Wrestling just needs another push or two, or maybe three more pushes before they can actually get to the fast lane. Because they're only going 65 miles an hour. WWE, I said earlier, let's just say that they're doing 35 miles an hour. Because their perspective of the fast lane is being PG. Well, now they realize that the fan base has slumped. Nobody's really cheering for anybody. Nobody's really booing for anybody. And ever since December, they've started to get the lowest of the lows for attendance rates and attendance records. That's why Michael Cole said on Monday Night Raw, well, we hope next week to have record-breaking numbers about WrestleMania being sold out. You know why he said that? He looked at that television camera and had to tell the world that he hoped, but he actually meant we collectively. And maybe Vince McMahon was the one yelling in his headset to tell him that. Because Vince McMahon is the one, ultimately, who is hoping that next week when they come on Monday Night Raw, then they can tell the world, we have record-breaking numbers. WrestleMania sold out in, I don't know, let's pretend it's 25 seconds. But none of the house shows, none of the TV shows, and it doesn't look like WrestleMania, none of these things combined, are selling out. They're not earth-shattering records anymore. Then Vince McMahon goes on Dateline NBC 3 weeks ago and he says, you know, I hope we break our record for WrestleMania. And the Dateline NBC host had asked him, well, why? That way we can reach the Guinness World Record. You're not going to make it in that book again. The only time you did that was for WrestleMania 14, only because you had Mike Tyson to back you up. Now you don't have anybody. And are you really anticipating on using Jack Swagger? I wouldn't. I'd suspend the son of a bitch. My main man, Craig, said that he would suspend him for 30 days. Nah. If I was Vince, better yet, forget Vince McMahon. If I was in charge, and I know Matt Broderick would probably be like, "Oh, you're fired for the whole year." But me, I'd probably give Jack Swagger a chance. I'd probably fire him for the whole 90 days. Because, hey, you're probably going, "Wait a minute, why would you spend it for 90 days?" Because it's perfect to, you know, it doesn't it make sense to suspend him for 90 days if I was in charge anyways? Because he was arrested for drugs. That's part of the wellness policy, no drugs. Or so they say. Number two, he was in a fight. Unconfirmed reports are that he started a fight with one of the bar people that were there, that have been there, a longtime member of the bar, for no reason at all. He just snapped. That would be the other part of his 90-day suspension, for assaulting someone. That's what I would do. That would be my aggression. The main thing is that WWE has a chance. Impact Wrestling has a chance. ROH has a chance. And all the independents, I'm sorry that our independent tag team champion from UWA did not call into the show today. But maybe they'll be here with us next week. Everybody has a chance. All these promotions have a chance to get in the fast lane. We're going to end the show early because I need some more sleep. But before I go, let me just say that the reason why they're not in the fast lane, go back to what I said earlier. That Vince said that there is no way, it's not possible for these wrestlers to wrestle for 15 or 20 minutes. Now, you know that's bullshit. There have been 11 Iron Man matches. There have been 11 Iron Man matches in the history of WWE. ECW had these crazy, you know, going through tables matches and barbed wire matches. You want to ask Terry Funk, Shane Douglas, Bill Alfonso, and everybody that was involved with the very first barely legal pay-per-view. Now that is action. We need that kind of action again. We need to be in the fast lane. Otherwise, even though everybody's been saying it, Bill Maher's been saying it for 2 years, that sooner or later, wrestling is going to fall off the face of this earth. It will if we don't get in the fast lane. See you on next week.
Getting to the top rope, and he's in it! Frog flash! Come on, Eddie!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, "So now what do I do?" They go, "Well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business. What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.